Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or smoker or even a deep fryer, because there's still plenty of time. It's always time to grill in your backyard. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, what's cooking is chili, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Chili. We're actually recording this early because as you're listening to this, Jop and I are downtown Ada, Michigan at the third annual chili cook-off and craft brew event. So we're hoping to do some real damage.
Right about this time, that smoker is full of top sirloin and a bunch of vegetables, and we can say this now because if they ain't got the ingredients with them, it ain't going in there.
We're still not going to say it.
Yeah.
So, we got the big ABS Judge smoker down there. I fired it up last week. I cooked for my friend John Spoolstra's 80th birthday party and fed about 80 people. It was wonderful. That thing performed so nicely. I had to throw a whole bunch of stuff on there just because once you fire it up, it's so cool. But I had the rotisseries working. I did beans and just a bunch of little sides and stuff. But really nice to show up with around 80 or 90 people in a showroom and have an 80-year-old guy who looks like he's 60 walk in the door and have everybody scream and start clapping.
Yeah,
that was
He's
an amazing guy. And
great surprise.
Yeah, my God.
80's a milestone too, man. You know, there's a lot of people who don't get there.
I can tell you this. You could not keep up with that man.
Yeah, you know what?
Your son told me that,
who's 22.
Yeah.
And he helped me out the other day at work. He stopped by and lent it a hand. And he's like, I talked to him about it because I knew you were going to go do that cook. And he said, yeah, I work with that guy. He said, they build pools, right? That's what they do. He's like, Jop, that 80-year-old man out shovels me. And this, your son's what, 22, 23?
And strapping.
Yeah. I mean, he's ripped. And it was just good to hear him. But good to always have a friend that you can, you know, hang out with and reflect back on all the cool things he's done.
Well, today, December 3rd, 100 years ago today, my father was born.
Really?
Yeah, Towno Nirmico was born in Wakefield, Michigan on our farm.
Okay.
And, of course, I was the youngest of seven kids, so he was in his 40s when I was born.
Sure.
He's been gone since, 91.
Yeah.
But 100 years ago today, man.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
That'll make you stop and think.
I know it.
I'm not sure we'll see that, but he didn't either. But you know what? Live it like you can
you can. He in the Depression, he was a lumberjack, and a lot of them were up there.
Oh, that's where the pasties came from in your family.
No wonder
you'd like ketchup and not gravy. It's hard to carry gravy in your pocket.
Pasty country. And, I've got a lot of memories of going to the farm and hunting and what they learned. My grandpa came over from Finland in like turn of the century with his brothers, and they all bought farms right next to each other.
Sure.
And their barns were loaded up with things that, I mean, my grandpa, they had cows, and it was the Depression, and my mother used to love to go to her in-law's house because they had meat.
Yeah.
But my grandpa had this big foot-pedaled stitching machine. He made all their boots, tanned the hides. I mean, that's what people did. They were self-sufficient.
Sure.
And now we have people that, if they don't have their iPhone, they can't get a meal.
Right.
You know, so I think it'd be okay to go back to a little more self-sufficiency. And I think in this show we can help people kind of take care of themselves a little bit. And one thing we're going to do today is help them learn how to make chili if they're struggling with it.
And a lot of different varieties. We're gonna hit chicken, green, cowboy, Tex-Mex, you name it, good old American. whatever the chili is. And a lot of them are the same, but just a little twist and a few different ingredients. But,
yeah.
It should be a lot of fun. This is chili season, man.
Yeah, that's right. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grillin' Guys and The Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And you can check us out on Facebook/ The Grillin' Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy. And, of course, our website is thegrillinguys.com. We get a lot of action on that website. We're updating it every week. There's recipes. You can contact Jop on there. You can contact me on there. Or you can just listen to past shows. There's a spot up on the top right side of the website. You can click on if you want our podcast. That's a growing number of people that like to download podcasts. You can listen live. You can just hit the streaming button whatever time it's on in your market. If you can't get yourself near a radio, which a lot of us can't these days, you can just put it on your laptop.
Right.
Or your
pretty
phone.
Cool way. You know, I live in a little hole. Where I live, I'm in a gully, and this radio signal pops over top of me, and I listen to on iHeartRadio all the time is where I'm at. And you just tune into your station, and you end up picking us up, man.
So, Joe, do any grilling this week?
You know what? I did, and it was the simplest stuff, but I go to the big box store, and I see chicken thighs on sale. I think you saw them, too,
yeah.
Because you talked to me after I did it. But just one little tip on that is there were chicken thighs with skin and bone in.
Yep.
And
the only way to do them.
Right.
Well, not really.
But
they're
good that way.
Yep.
And so I season them up. I peel the skin back and put a little salt seasoning between the skin and the it helps it crisp up a little bit. And then I put it on the top. But that's where I was going with this, is that I put them on my big green egg, and I had my plate setter, which is that divider that separates the coals. So from the grate. So it's not directly on heat. You're getting convective heat, right, rather than direct heat. So I do this, and I get them up to about 160 degrees, and I'm grabbing them with the tongs. I put the thermopen in them. They're done, right? But I'm grabbing them with the tongs, and the skin's still rubbery, and I don't really like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do, I open up the air vent on the top and the bottom, run that thing up to about 600 degrees for about 7 or 8 minutes is all it was, and you could hear it just crackling in there, right? And I've got a cast iron plate setter. I don't have the ceramic one anymore.
Oh, good.
Because I broke two or three of the ceramic ones. So I said, I'm not breaking another one. We're going to cast iron. But boy, did that really snap and crackle and create a little smoke right at the end on them, and took them off, and they were nice and crispy. But word of caution, okay, I had that air damper open on the top, on the bottom, and the little slide on the top, it's
yep.
a Kamado.
Yep.
I opened that lid, that rush of oxygen,
woof.
I had flames a foot and a half above that grate.
I did the exact
on all
same
sides,
thing.
Man.
I had to go in the garage and get a beer and douse it.
Yeah, or I, you know what, I could show you if I rolled up my sleeve, my right arm has no hair left on it. My left arm's got plenty because I was reaching in there when I did it like a dummy.
I forgot something when I did mine, and I learned this accidentally a year ago when Charlie was living with us. I accidentally overdid the chicken thighs, and I brought them up to 180.
Yeah.
Best thing you can ever do.
Really?
Yeah. There's something about thighs, there, if the bone in particular, that 165 does not cut it. And I took mine off this week at 165. I had to put them back on. They were not how I wanted them. The time I accidentally overdid them, they were spot on perfect. So I'm going to say bring those babies up to 175 or 180 easily, because there's so much connective tissue and blood in those joints
right.
that you really need to cook thoroughly through there to tenderize everything. And it's,
you know,
it's,
I don't know what my temperature
you
was
won't
because
hurt
it was 160 when I cranked it up.
Yep.
So obviously they got hotter. They,
yep.
were, they were tasty. And you know, what I like to do is that bulk pack's got a dozen of them in it, right?
Right.
Well, you know, I got meals for 3 or 4 days.
Right.
And make chicken salad out of it. You do anything you want with it. And
yeah.
it's just a really versatile meat.
So that's word of the day. Bone-in chicken thighs. Overcook them. You cannot destroy those
don't
things.
Burn them, but just get them up to a little bit higher temperature. But coming up next, Barbecue Bob and I are going to talk a little bit about some different styles of chili, maybe even a little salsa verde as we move around the Southwest where chili's home was, but we're going to put a little Michigan twist on it. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Flies in the Vaseline.